Hello and welcome to Quilt Achievement's Market Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we've been exploring for you here at Quilt Achievement. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you're listening on, or by following hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Chris Scott, investment manager based out of our Glasgow office. And this week, I'm pleased to be joined by Richard Carter, our head of fixed interest research, and aerospace and defence analyst, Matthew Dorset. Good morning to you both. Richard, as has been the focus for markets over the past few months, attentions remain on Trump and his latest policies. Last week, Mexico, Canada, and China were on the receiving end of his tariff tirade. Can you summarise this for our listeners and explain the impact it's had on markets?
To be honest, Chris, it's a full-time job trying to work out at the moment which tariffs are in place and which aren't. And last week was no different, basically. I mean, the 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico came in earlier in the week, and the sort of 10%, an extra 10% on China. But then as the week went on, there were basically carve-outs and opt-out clauses for the various things. So it was quite hard to keep up with it. The ones on China are still there, and the Chinese have retaliated, particularly on American agricultural goods. But there was, the sort of ones on Canada and Mexico were kind of rode back. And initially, after talks with head bosses of U.S. automakers, the ones on cars and auto parts were sort of parked for a month or so, and then it turned out later in the week that anything that was being imported and was compliant with this, a US-Mexico-Canada free trade arrangement, so the USMCA agreement, anything that was compliant with that was basically also going to be given a waiver for another month or so. And that it's quite hard to be exactly sure how much that covers, but it's probably around, 2/3 of US imports will be UMSCA compliant. So, it is hard to keep up with at the moment. Markets are struggling to get their heads around it, particularly in all the uncertainty. And there's worry that, understandable worry that all the uncertainty and confusion will cause problems for US consumers and US companies, and will really have a big dent in confidence. So increasing chatter about slowdown in growth, not helped by US Treasury Secretary over the weekend talking about a sort of detox period for the US economy and the need to wean off reliance on government spending. So yeah, market's a bit jittery, but I have to say the jitters are more in the States, certainly last week, than they are in Europe, because European markets are being boosted by the whole talk around sort of increased infrastructure spending and defence spending out of Germany.
Thanks, Richard. Matt, we saw the UK announce an increase in spending in defence. Can you explain the thought process behind this and what UK companies may be the beneficiaries of this?
Yeah, sure. It's been, unsurprisingly, a very interesting time in defence at the moment. Maybe to quickly start by recapping what Keir Starmer announced. So UK defence spending is set to increase to 2.5% of GDP in 2027 from 2.3% today. And he's also announced an ambition to reach 3% of GDP in the next parliament. It's obviously difficult for governments to find the fiscal headroom to increase defence spending at the moment, but Starmer has managed this by cutting the development aid budget to 0.3%. I think the thought process behind this is quite clear. The US is increasingly signalling that it will reduce its focus on Europe and on Ukraine, and will leave this to the European countries to take a more active role. For a long time, defence spending has been cut in Europe, which has left European armies significantly undersupplied and diminished. And in a world in which the US is no longer a backstop for the protection of Europe, Europe, including the UK, need to then step up. And this is what Starmer is doing. Although I wouldn't be surprised if spending needs to increase faster than currently planned. In terms of the beneficiaries, I think there's an opportunity for most UK defence names here as demand increases. I think a couple of things to note from the outset is that Firstly, in our view, increased spending will disproportionately go to equipment, which will benefit UK defence names more. And the UK will also aim to improve the investments in the UK with its higher spending. So to quote Starmer, he said, "We will make sure this investment maximises British jobs, British growth, British skills and British innovation." So certainly upside for the defence names in the UK. To mention a few, firstly, most obviously BAE Systems, which is the largest UK defence name. It has more than a quarter of its sales in the UK and makes all sorts of defence equipment from fighter jets to missiles, to drones and to submarines and many more. But I think there's also a number of smaller UK names that could benefit. So the likes of Chemring, which has 45% exposure to the UK and provides technological defence solutions such as expendable countermeasures, and also Kinetic, which does lots of testing and R&D work and has 2/3 of its exposure to the UK.
And following on from that, Matt, you mentioned the US pulling its support for the Ukraine. What does this mean for the war and how will this impact wider Europe?
Yeah, look, clearly this has significant implications for Ukraine and for Europe as a whole. The US has contributed about half of the aid that Ukraine has received, including some of the most effective kits, such as long-range missiles, combat vehicles, and the like. So certainly a blow for Ukraine. Although at the moment, Europe is now supplying about 60% of the current aid flowing to Ukraine. And recall in 2023, the Republicans did block aid to Ukraine and the Ukrainians were able to eke out supplies. So for the near term, I think Ukraine will have reserves it can draw upon. Another issue is that for Ukraine is that the US stopped its sharing of military intelligence, which I think would have a more immediate impact. So Ukraine receives a large amount of intelligence from the US, real-time data, satellite data, etc. This will limit Ukraine's combat ability, both defensively and offensively. That all being said, given how quickly news flow is coming out, so I've seen some reports this morning stating that the US has just about ended the pause in intelligence sharing. So potentially that risk is now gone. It's certainly possible that this is all part of a negotiation ploy. So we heard Mike Waltz saying that military assistance would resume in Ukraine, if Ukraine participates in US diplomatic efforts. It's obviously hard to know with Trump and Ukraine, and Europe won't want to take that chance. So again, I think the key takeaway here is that this requires Europe stepping up if it's serious about standing with Ukraine in the long run. And I think we're seeing some evidence of this. So European leaders are recognizing this challenge. We've had the CDU and the SPD in Germany proposing exempting defense spending above 1% of GDP from the debt brake, which limits their fiscal headroom. We've also had the EU making 800 billion euros available for defence spending, including via a 150 billion loan. More broadly, the defence spending targets for NATO will likely increase in the next few months. The NATO Secretary General has said that it will likely be considerably more than 3%. So I think there's a huge uplift in spending to come, which I do think is worthy of the phrase a paradigm shift for Europe. Like we discussed in the UK, this will clearly be beneficial for European defence businesses as well.
Thanks, Matt. And lastly, Richard, we saw the ECB continue its interest rate cuts last week. It's now well ahead of the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve in this process. What does this mean for markets and currency? And do you expect the other central banks to follow suit, or will this largely be hinged on the potential inflation that Trump's tariffs may cause?
Yeah, it is well ahead at the moment because sort of growth and inflation in the Eurozone has been kind of more conducive to rate cuts. So they've been really getting on with it in contrast to the sort of Bank of England and the Fed. But, you know, the stuff that Matt's just been talking about will change this a little bit. The whole defence and infrastructure spending that's expected to come out of Europe will probably mean that the end of the ECB's rate cutting cycle is sort of in sight. I mean, they've probably got maybe one or two more rate cuts to come, but if this spending really comes through, they probably don't need to be doing that much more. So that's a bit of a change. And so instead of sort of you know, the euro falling or bond yields falling recently, or certainly over the last couple of weeks, it's actually been the reverse. The euro has been strong, and you know, we had a massive sort of rise in German and European bond yields last week. So markets are kind of now moving on from this sort of ECB rate cutting cycle. I think the Bank of England and the Fed are still kind of stuck where they are. They're you know, they'd probably like to cut rates a little bit more than they have. They're a bit, I think there's, you know, some concern about the path of economic growth in both countries, particularly in the UK. But they've still got this problem of sticky inflation pressures. You know, the tariffs could be a factor in that, but also just sort of wages. And, you know, we know here about fuel costs and tax rises and all the rest of it. So I think there are more rate cuts to come, but at the moment they're going to have to come fairly gradually.
Well, thank you very much to both of you for those great insights and to all of you for listening. We love to hear from our listeners, so please review the show wherever you're listening and share it on your socials and tag us at QuiltAchieveIt. To make sure you don't miss a future episode, tap the subscribe button. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, head over to our website, www.quiltachieveit.com. where you can read the accompanying market overview as well as subscribe to our weekly comment newsletter. You can also stay up to date with our thoughts on market news, industry insights, and our upcoming events and webinars on our website or on our social media pages. Finally, if you have any questions you'd like to ask one of our experts on our next podcast, simply ask them via the weekly comments page on our website. And that's it for today. So thank you, Richard and Matt, for your time, and to all of you for listening. See you next time.